السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی رب زدنا علما اللہم فقہنا فی الدین اللهم انا نسالك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. امين يا رب العالمين. ان شاء الله we're going to do ayat 80 to 82 today of surah al-maida, and by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will complete the 6th just today, inshallah. We'll start off with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 80. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Tara, you see. Ra'a means to look at something, and ta in the beginning means you. So tara, you see, or you will see. Kathiran, many. Minhum, min, from, whom, them. Yatawallawna, they befriend. Walla is the root word, and that comes from wali. Okay, we learned the word wali before. That means somebody who is a close friend, a guardian. Right, so ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and ona ending tells us it's plural. So yatawallawna, they befriend or they make guardians or protectors. Alladhina, those who kafaru, they disbelieved. Labi'sa, la, surely. Bi'sa, how evil. Ma, what? Qaddamat, sent ahead. Or presented. La, for, whom, them. Anfusuhum, anfus means souls, whom, theirs. So anfusuhum, themselves, or their souls. An, that. Sakhita, he was angry. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that the word Allah ends with a dhamma. So Allah is the one doing something. So, سَخِطَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry. عَلَيْهِمْ, عَلَيْهِ, upon, him, them. Wa, and, fi, in, al-'adhabi, al, the, adab, punishment. Hum, they, خَالِدُون, ones who dwell eternally. وَلَوْ, wa, and, lo, if, kanu, they were. Yu'minuna, this comes from iman. Iman is a root word, and that means to believe. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they. So yu'minuna, they believe, billahi, with or in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, an-nabiyyi, al means the, nabi, prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa, and, ma, what, unzila, was sent down, ilayhi, ilay, towards, he, him. Ma, not, ittakhadhuhum, khud means to take. So ittakhadhu, they take, or they took, or made. This is in the past. Okay, so dal with the dhamma is followed by the waw sukun. So ittakhadhu, we know, is plural. So they took or made hum, them. Awliya'a, awliya'a is plural for the word wali, which means a guardian or protector, close friend. So awliya'a, guardians, or close friends, protectors. Wa, and, lakinna, but, kathiran, many, minhum, min, from, hum, them. Fasiqoon, ones who disobey. This word comes from fisq, which means disobedience. Okay, so fasiqun are people who are disobedient. So fasiqun, ones who sin or cross the limit or disobey. Latajidanna, la, surely. Tajidanna, ta means you, and noon with the shadda in the end adds more emphasis to this word. And wajada is the root word, and that means to find something. So latajidanna, surely you will definitely find a shadda, most severe. Shadid means severe or intense, and adding an alif to the beginning means that there's more depth in whatever is being said, more intensity. So ashadda, most severe or intense. An-nasi, of the mankind. Adawatan, in enmity. Lilladina, li, for alladina, those who amanu, they believed. Al-yahuda, al means the, and yahud, Jews. Wa, and alladhina, those who ashraku, they did shirk. This word comes from sheen, ra, kaf, shirk, which means to associate partners with Allah. And ashraku is in the third person, and it is plural. So ashraku, they associated partners with, or they did shirk. Walatajidanna, wa, and la, surely. Tajidanna, you will definitely find. Akurabahum. Akuraba, nearest. Qurb means nearness. Okay, and adding an alif to the beginning adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. So akuraba, nearest. Hum, them. Mawaddatan, in love or friendship. Lilladina, li, for alladina, those who amanu, they believed. Alladina, those who qalu, they said. Inna, inna, indeed, and then the noon alif at the end is the pronoun meaning we. So inna, indeed, we. Nasara, are Christians. Dalika, tha. Bi anna, bi, because. Anna, indeed. Minhum, min, from, whom, them. Qissisina, are religious priests or scholars. Qissisin means priests or scholars. Wa, and ruhbanan, monks or God-fearing people. So ruhbanan can mean monks or ones who are God-fearing, or ascetics. Wa, and annahum, anna, indeed, hum, they, la, not. This is la malif la, so it means not. Yastakbirun, they are proud. Takabbur is the root word, and that means arrogance. Ya, in the beginning, tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural, so it means they. And seen after the ya means that they seek to do something. So yastakbirun, they seek to be arrogant, or they assume greatness. Okay, la yastakbirun, they are not proud, they're not arrogant, they do not assume greatness. Alhamdulillah. Now we will begin with the tafsir of these ayat. Excuse me. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Tara kathiran minhum yatawalluna alladhina kafaru. As you can see, many of them are taking the side of the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us about the Jews. We had been learning about them in the previous ayat. So here he's telling us more about them. And he says that they rush to befriend the disbelievers. So who did the Jews befriend back then? They befriended the Mushrikeen, or the polytheists of Mecca. They befriended them instead of the Muslims. They should have been friends with Muslims, since the Muslims believed in their book, and they believed in their messenger, Musa alayhi salam. And the Muslims also believed in the same God as them, so they should have been closer to them instead of befriending others who worshipped idols. لَبِئْسَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. Surely, how evil is that which their souls have sent ahead. The way they used to befriend the polytheists, and they turned away from the Muslims. It was a really bad thing to do. These bad deeds were something that they were sending forth ahead, along with all the other bad things that they sent ahead. They didn't become best friends with the people who believed in and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like they did when they should have, right? It makes sense to think that they would have. But they were not as close to them. Neither did they turn to them when they needed protection. Instead of looking towards the Muslims, they looked towards the polytheists for protection. But this was such an evil thing that they did, that they sent ahead for themselves, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know that that's where we send all our deeds, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can mean good things or bad things that people do. Everything that people do is sent ahead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hereafter. As we learned last time, the Jews used to accept the sins that people committed in society without being disturbed by whatever was happening around them, even though they knew it was wrong. We learned how they told them once not to commit that sin, but if the other person didn't listen to them, they just joined them and sat with them the next day comfortably. So it didn't even bother them anymore. So the three things that we learned about last time that they did were the three things they did that were wrong. Okay, the bad things they did were that they were comfortable around sins. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were unjust towards other people. And these were all bad things that they were doing. أَمَّا سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. That they incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became angry with them because of their sins. The things they did made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset with them. وَفِي الْعَذَابِ هُمْ خَالِدُونَ. And in punishment, they are going to live forever. Allahu Akbar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O you who believed, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow. So we should all think about what we're sending forth, what we're sending ahead for tomorrow, for our eternal lives, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides everyone who believes to do this. Okay, so we should be thinking about what we are sending ahead for ghad, for tomorrow, for our eternal lives. And think about what the Jews were sending ahead for their tomorrow, for the hereafter. They were doing things to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. They did incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the things they did. And that's the reason why they were cursed. When people make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really angry, that's when that lanat or the curse of Allah is cast on them. And this ayah reminds us something important too, that tomorrow is not far at all. It's very near. When someone is about to leave this world, even before that person has gotten to the next world, he sees the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angers all around. At that time, that person sees angels as far as the eye can see. And he is surrounded by his family too. An angel comes to him and he says, "O impure soul, get out. Come towards Allah's anger. He is waiting for you." Astaghfirullah. Just imagine that. This happens when that person's connection from this world is not even cut off yet. Even before that person has left this world, he is still here and he has to move on to the next world. Even before he leaves this world, he finds out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with him, that he has done things to upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he doesn't want to leave, but he is not capable of doing anything at that time. He cannot escape death, and his time in this world is up. That person cannot do anything at all to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. He can't do tawbah, he can't seek forgiveness and reform and make things right. It's too late. So that person feels helpless. He is stuck. When his soul hears the angel say that he has upset Allah, it tries to hide in the body. It doesn't want to leave. It knows that it's headed for adhab up ahead, that it's going to be in the punishment after death. It knows that it sent ahead deeds to upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person learns at the very first step, even before his death, that he is heading towards the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine how that person feels. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a disbeliever is about to leave this world and proceed to the next world, angels with black faces come down to him from the heaven with hair cloth and sit away from him as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death comes and sits at his head, and he says, "Wicked soul, come out to displeasure from your Lord." Astaghfirullah. Then that soul becomes dissipated in his body, and he draws it out. The angel of death draws it out. He pulls it out as a spit is drawn out from moistened wool. Imagine a warm rod sort of thing being pulled out of wet wool. He then seizes it, and when he does so, they do not leave it in his hand for an instant. Meaning all the other angels don't leave it in his hand even for an instant, but they put it in that hair cloth, and from it there comes forth a stench like the most offensive stench of a corpse found on the face of this earth. Astaghfirullah. That's how the soul of that person is pulled out of that body by the angels. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live our lives in a state of iman, and may we leave this world in a state of iman so that He is pleased with us. May He protect us every second of our lives so we don't do the things that make Him angry, and at the time of our death. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. As for the death of a believer, even before he leaves this world, when his family is still sitting beside him, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, comes to him. And the family members who are standing by him don't see Malakul Maut, but the dying person sees him. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, When a believer is about to leave this world and go forward to the next world, angels with faces white as the sun come down to him from the heaven with one of the shrouds of paradise and some of the perfume of paradise, and they sit away from him as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death comes and sits at his head, and he says, "O good soul, come out to forgiveness and acceptance of your Lord, which awaits you." Subhanallah. So the angel of death, Malakul Maut, calls him towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how happy that person is at that time. Even though it's such a difficult time for people when the soul has to leave the body, that person is excited to get out quickly after what he's just heard. And it tells the angel to take it quickly. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it leaves the body very easily. And he gave the example of water that flows out of the leather bag that it was kept in. In the former times, people used to keep water in leather bags. So imagine the leather bag being opened at the top and the water, the drops flowing out. That's how gently that soul leaves the body. Subhanallah. That soul is so pleased to hear the good news, to find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him forgiveness and he is pleased with him. When the angel of death seizes his soul, the angels who accompany him do not leave it in his hand even for an instant, but they take it and place it in that shroud and that perfume. And from it comes forth a fragrance like that of the sweetest musk found on the face of the earth. Subhanallah. But for the people who have upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll find out even before they die that they made Allah angry. How evil are the things they did to upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For them is punishment that they will live in forever, because of the bad deeds they sent ahead. The next ayah tells us what the Jews did, but this applies to all of us too. So we should listen up and try to derive lessons for ourselves from this ayah. If we befriend the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remember a few things that we're going to learn about. Because it's not easy for a true believer to befriend those who reject Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's just not possible. وَلَوْ كَانُوا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالنَّبِيِّ. And if they had believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ. And in what was revealed to him, meaning the Qur'an, because the Qur'an was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَتَّخَذُونَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. They would never have taken disbelievers as their protecting friends instead of believers. They would have never taken the polytheists of Mecca as their close friends in that case, if they had believed in Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Qur'an. They would not have done such a thing. وَلَكِنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. But most of them are rebellious transgressors. They don't even care because they disobey. They cross the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are sinful. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something that is actually connected to the next juz that will start next week, inshallah. At the beginning of juz 7, we are going to learn the ayat that are connected to it. But for now, we're going to cover this ayah, ayah 82, since it is a part of this juz. But once we study the next ayat that are connected to this, we'll understand it better, inshallah. So ayah 82. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً. Surely you will definitely find the most violent, most severe, and most intense in enmity, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to those who believe. Now, which group is the most intense in enmity towards the believers? الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, the Jews and the Mushrikeen, the pagan Arabs, those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews and the polytheists are most intense in enmity towards the believers. In Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's times, we know that the Jews secretly plotted to harm him so many times. And the polytheists tried to harm him too. In so many ways, they tried to hurt him. So they crossed all limits in enmity towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even today, if you think about all the places around the globe where the Muslims are being hurt, where they're being oppressed, it's the Jews or the Mushrikeen who are oppressing them. They are the ones hurting and abusing the Muslims due to enmity. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. And surely you will definitely find nearest in affection to the believers are those who say, we are Christians. In Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, when he sent Ja'far radiallahu anhu and some other Sahaba to Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, they were treated so well. Abyssinia is modern day Ethiopia, by the way. So Najashi offered refuge to Ja'far radiallahu anhu and the other Muslims with him from those persecuting them in Mecca. He is known for his fairness and protection of all the Muslims who were around him. And inshallah, we'll find out ahead about what happened when Najashi sent delegates to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Christians are kind, they are soft-hearted. And why is that? It's because in their books, they are taught that if someone smacks you on one cheek, on one side of your face, present the other side as well. Okay, they are taught to pardon, to forgive. So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the Christians really care for us. He is just comparing them to the Jews and polytheists. In comparison to those two groups, the Jews and polytheists, the Christians are less intense in their enmity towards the believers. They're less intense. Okay, they're less severe in enmity towards the believers. They're more compassionate towards the believers than the Jews and the polytheists. But it doesn't mean that they don't feel anything against Islam. They may be against Islam. And this ayah is specifically about Najashi and the people with him who accepted Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us their qualities up ahead, their character traits. So we can't apply this to all the Nasara, all the Christians. So their characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, Najashi and the people around him who accepted Islam, they are described next. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ, that is because among them there are قِسِّيسِين, priests. There are ulama among them, scholars, knowledgeable scholars who are practicing. وَرُحْبَانًا, and monks. The monks are God-fearing. They are ascetics. They don't care much about acquiring worldly things or worldly goods. They're not greedy. And we already learned about how greedy the Jews were when it came to holding on to their positions of power, right? And that's what led them to disbelieve, just so they would not have to lose their positions. They wanted to stay in those positions of power, and they wanted to keep acquiring wealth because of those positions. So they didn't accept Islam. Because if they had accepted Islam, the Jews would have become followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they would have had to step down from the powerful positions they held. And they didn't want to do that to accept Islam. But among the Christians, there are people who withdraw from society to focus on prayer and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not greedy. They don't care for worldly goods. They practice self-discipline and they abstain from worldly pleasures. And they often live simple lives, okay, in a frugal way. They don't care for material possession and they focus a lot on connecting to God. They don't want to have any positions of power. They're happy living in isolation, just spending time in worship. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ And indeed, they do not behave arrogantly. They are not proud, unlike the Jews, who are so full of themselves. They were full of themselves, and they still are so arrogant. And they always thought that they were superior to everyone else. And this is how they still are. Even today, they think they're better somehow. They think they're the best, so they assume greatness. But as for the Christians, they're not like that. And there are some among them who are just focused on worshiping God. They're not greedy. And there are ulama among them, scholars, who are practicing too. They don't assume greatness. They're not arrogant. So it's people among the Christians with these three qualities who are nearest in mawadda, meaning nearest in love or friendship to the Muslims. But most Nasara today don't even know much about their own religion. Like some of the Muslims today who have Muslim names, but they don't know anything about Islam. There are Christians like that too. But the ones who have the qualities that we just learned about in this ayah are the ones who have a soft corner for the Muslims. But the Jews and the polytheists are the two groups that don't feel any love towards the Muslims. In fact, they go to extremes in their enmity towards the Muslims. And history has proved this time and time again. The Jews and those who ashraku, meaning those who did shirk, are intense in enmity towards the believers. That includes people who follow Buddhism or Hinduism and all other religions that practice shirk. But please remember one thing. We can't apply this to individuals. Okay? Because many people say that they have friends or that they have neighbors who are Jews or mushriks who treat them very well. We must remember that we aren't talking about individuals. We are talking about the people in general who belong to those two groups. The majority, most of them, how they are overall. Of course, there can be good people among all groups, and there are always exceptions too. But in general, this is how the majority of them are. But the things we learned about overall, that they are severe in enmity to the believers, this characteristic is found in most Jews and the mushrikeen, the polytheists. And the Christians, with the three qualities that we just went over, tend to care about the Muslims more. So we can't apply this to every Christian out there, or every Jew. There are always exceptions. And we know that Hercules, the king of Rome, did not accept Islam, but he had a soft corner in his heart for the Muslims. Right? He was good to the Muslims. Likewise, Macacus, the ruler of Alexandria in Egypt, he was Christian. He sent gifts to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a king who had sent Maria Qibtiya radiallahu anha to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a gift. And we know that she later became the mother of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's son, Ibrahim. So the kings we just learned about did not accept Islam. Hercules and Macacus, both of them, did not accept Islam, but they were affectionate towards the Muslims. They had a feeling that this is the truth. But just because they wanted to hold on to their positions or whatever it was that they wanted to stick to, their tradition, they didn't accept Islam. But they were affectionate and caring towards the Muslims. They never attacked them like the others did. So there have been people among the Christians throughout history who were friendly with the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand these ayat properly and implement what we learned. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we have completed the sixth juz today. The sixth juz of the Quran. Mabruk to all of you, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us to complete the Quran in this way. May He grant us all afiyat and health, good health, so we can get to the 30th juz in this manner one day and complete it. Ameen. Time flies, but you have all accomplished so much over the past few years. Alhamdulillah. You could have used this time that you spent learning the Quran to just do other things, everyday things that we do. But you chose to take out some time to learn the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand it. And the reward for doing that is preserved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saves that reward for you. Okay, and there are so many blessings that come to us in life and that will come to us in the hereafter as a result of us being connected to the Quran. So many problems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us away from, troubles that He averts from us because of this connection to the Quran. A special congratulations to those of you who have listened to every lecture and taken every ayah seriously, knowing that it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of you who noted down the main points from each ayah and tried to pick up things from each ayah to implement in life. Those who studied with so much dedication. Because we learned before that, excuse me, there can be many people doing the same thing. But it's the quality of how we do it that determines our reward. Okay, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do it in the best way possible. Every ayah holds a message for all of us. We have to learn that message. We have to derive that message and learn it. And we should be eager to seek this knowledge. We should be happy to do it. We should never consider it a burden, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down as a blessing to us. And we should be thankful to Allah for it. Alhamdulillah that He chose us out of so many people out there. And He made us capable of studying it. Now we should make dua that He makes it easy for us to implement what we have learned. We have to keep making these duas as we go on. And we have to really try. Inshallah. If we do these two things, if we make du'as and effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely make it doable for us. After some time passes, we won't even remember the things we did or the things we gave up to be able to study it. Just like we don't remember other things that we do or don't do after time passes, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notes down what we are doing. Everything that we do with the day and time is recorded. We forget, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget. It's all being noted down. So let's try to use this time wisely to learn His word and please Him. Okay, that should be our goal, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn His approval. Subhanallah. We may forget when we did what, but these are the things that will come in handy in the hereafter. We have to keep adding to the good deeds as time passes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and our attempt to learn His word. Ameen. Ya Rabbul Alameen. Now that we're done with the six juz, we will finish up here for today. And I know class is much shorter than usual today, but we have completed juz 6. Inshallah, we'll start the ayat of juz 7 next week. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.